Good morning. I am in court with our youth, and I'm going to open the phone line up for Marvell. Marvell, sorry about that. You got Mark the Disciple, Double R on here, and I'm going to get off this thing. I stepped out of court. They called the case at the same time the radio show came on, so forgive me.
Okay. We got you.
Right on. Well, hey, good morning, brothers. And good morning to our listening audience. let's clarify the delay. The delay is because of a willingness on the brother's part to sacrifice to be a male presence in the court system for a youth that has a matter before the courts. He has his grandmother, and I will dare say maybe someone else, but it's probably not a man. So in this case, he's made the sacrifice to be a male presence and give a male perspective about the youth's concerns and to represent the offer to continue to work with this youth and not adjudicate him and incarcerate him. So that's what we're talking about. We're talking about a brother that sees that necessity to be a male presence in circumstances like this, to work to make sure that if there is a chance, our young people, that we want to take that chance. So that's why we had the delay. Pardon the delay, but understand the delay. And matter of fact, we should congratulate the delay, because the delay was for a cause that's greater than his presence here. So thank you, Tim, and I hope things work out for that young man and bring him on back. I know exactly who the young man is, actually, and he has an air of despondency, meaning he doesn't respond and he doesn't seem to want to respond, that he's shy, per se. It's just that he's indifferent about anything that we deal with in the youth group, because tonight we have our youth group, and Tim has a commitment that he wants to meet, so I'll be in that youth group, and I'll be candid with you. There are times when I'm in that youth group that a certain youth that I wish they weren't there, because they set a bad visuals example, they set a bad audio example, and I guess my skill has to be to turn that into something that exposes what not to do. But, you know, there's just sometime I'll be in a group where I just wish that certain youth just weren't there, because they cast a bad aspersion to what we're doing, and you have to try to work around them, the rest of the youth, into a different thought process when they're setting this bad seed, right? So anyway, I'm going on, but I just want to let it be known that this sacrifice that this brother is making, it's the type of thing that we aspire to in this community of people that we work with. I would dare to say if Mark was asked to do it, he would do it. I would dare to say if Double R was asked to do it, he would do it. I would dare to say if Joe was asked to do it, he would do it. I would dare to say if Larry was asked to do it, he would do the same thing. If I was asked to do it, I would do the same thing. That's what we're talking about, and that's where we're about. I'm going to yield to Mark.
Yes, it is a great deal that Tim, well, it's just a great deal of urgency that he's able to do what he does in these times because it's needed. And Marvell, for us, the healing circle, God has who he wants there. And those very same guys that sit up and play or, you know, be a cause of disturbance will be the very ones to lead a healing circle in the near future. I trust the process because it's not always what we want it to be, but we got to know that God's in control. And God places people where he wants them. And they may not be paying attention, but they hear it. They may not be listening, but they hear it. So all we can do is pray that some of the nuggets that are dropped off in that room will fall upon some well-earned ears, because they hear it, and hopefully it'll come to pass that they'll use it. I digress. And grand rising to all.
Well, I like that optimism. What you say, Double R?
Man, top of the top, you guys. Good morning, Black family. Yeah, man. Hey, man, I just pray that you guys keep up with knowledge, wisdom, and discernment, man. Y'all doing God's work, man, and it's about the youth. And I just, you know, it's going to be a lot of struggles, a lot of hurt. But I've been on here, man. Y'all been able to accomplish everything y'all put in front of y'all. I yield Black.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for that endorsement and that report, because I say it all the time, things are moving. They're not moving in technology computer time, you know, because that stuff is like in seconds, you know. And so the people that we're attempting to appeal to are used to that too. They're used to results coming at their fingertips. So we have to keep them engaged and keep them involved with the spirit of what we're doing and the deliberacy that we're doing it in, right? Hopefully that becomes more contagious than just a touch-tone phone or a game or sports, because now sports have kind of infiltrated, you know, the consciousness of a lot of our people. You know, we now, I mean, I met some people that are like scarily fans. They scare me. It's like they're such devoted fans to a team that, you know, it's like, if I say something, they might try to go in my mouth or something. If I say the wrong thing, I'm getting away from them. But they're fanatics for real. So So it's a whole lot of things that are readily available and easy to ignite that we're contending with. But the longest as we keep pushing through with the spirit of God and the spirit of achievement, we're gonna win this. We're gonna win this. Yo, are you there?
Yeah.
Come on in, man. What you waiting on?
In any journey, there's always missteps and steps that have to be taken in reverse so that you can get over the mud puddle instead of running into the mud puddle, if that's your choice. We all have ups and downs. And when you're doing, as Double R and Mark and many others say, when you're doing the work of God, which is out trying to gather the people, trying to talk to people, you're going to have problems. But again, for me and for all of us that are serious about this, we all need to just keep pushing. We have the experience and know that we've been through this before. We've been through this. We've been through tough times. We've survived tough concepts. And here we are trying to teach young about the toughness of this world. So no. We don't back up, Arvell. We don't back up. Yeah, I know we're pressed to the wall. You know, we got a blade up against our throat right now. But if we give up, we might as well lay down. I'm willing to fight back. Thank you.
Yeah, I know it, Joe. Hey, Joe is a warrior, right?
So yeah.
We got warriors up in here. Excuse me. We got warriors in and up and around here. And I'm just pleased to be in the fold, right?
Brother Marvell, that's what we are. We're the seniors. And we're the elders, but we, like Baba has told us before, we are the warriors. When we pick up that shield and pick up that sword and spear, we don't relinquish those because they have served us well. So let us keep moving, man.
Right on. Right on. I like that affirmation, man. Let us keep moving. That's a good affirmation. You know, I'm working with third, fourth, and fifth graders. See, I'm a prevention. I said that to a guy when I was appealing to him to work with him because he has a program that deals with addiction, right? And I told him, I said, man, I'm a prevention specialist. And he said, Well, you got a certificate? Did you get a degree? And I said, you talking about some paperwork? He said, well, you ain't got none. I said, no, man. But he said, well, how do you call yourself a specialist? And I said, because I specialize in methodology to stimulate our young people to look at stuff differently than they have been looking at it and hopefully make different and better decisions based upon that. That's why. And the dude was like, oh, well, you know, yeah. And now he called me, oh, every time he see me, he said, oh, yeah, you're the prevention specialist. He didn't give me nah job, nah assignment. He didn't. I told him, I said, look, I tell you what, put me on to something, and I'll volunteer just to show you what I do. I ain't heard nothing from him, right? But prevention is one of the keys, I think, for our future, is that we have to be more hands-on with our youth at their formative years, from three to seven. Those are the youth formative years where they're starting to really look at stuff and learning. I see children make decisions whether we recognize it or not. They're making decisions, right, based upon what's in the atmosphere based upon what's instinctual to them, and they're making decisions. I saw a 1-year-old reaching for a phone. That's a decision. Give me the phone. I want the phone. So we're getting into prevention is my forte, right? And so I'm talking with these young people, and they're saying some stuff. When they open up, they're saying some stuff. It's like, dang, did you just say that? One of them kids said, I said, I want to talk about a word today, because I work with words. Yeah, I put it on the board, and then I'll ask them, first I ask them, I start spelling, and I ask them to help me spell it. And they'll complete the spelling. Then I say, somebody tell me what it means. And they'll tell me, and they give me renditions of it. They give me versions of it. Then I say, well, anybody else got something to add? Anybody else got it? And so then we'll put it all together, and we'll define the word. And I put the word affirmation on there. And them kids told me, it's what you tell yourself. That's what the third, fourth, and fifth graders told me. It's stuff you tell yourself to help you move forward. That's what they told me. Now, I could say the word affirmation to a middle school student, and they scratching their head to my, affirmation, I mean, even the high school students. So, you know, catching up is necessary, because no child left behind has put them behind. No matter if they got the lesson, if they got the teaching, they push them forward. And it's an ugly system that we're contending with. Telling you, these young people that's in the 3, 4, 5 grade levels, those are the ones that we can focus on to change the ideologies that exist right now. But we air, land, and sea. I said it yesterday. Everything that we're approaching is an air, land, and sea method to get to the beach and conquer the beach, right? So we all got different fortes, but we all going to work together. Sure that we round out the nutrition, the mental, spiritual, and emotional nutrition that our youth need in order for them to stand in to place innovation. making things. I tell the kids, I tell them this. I say, you know, you have I got a card trick, and I do it. It's astonishing, right? They pick a card, and I can just tell them what it is, right? And they're astonished by that. But I told them, I said, no, that's just a trick. I say, you want to know real magic? You can have something in your mind, and you can make it real. That's magic. You have that power. You have the power of magic. You can make something that wasn't here. So I have them doing creative stuff, drawing and making stuff up. You know, keep them creative. Keep them creating, you know, stimulating their creativity, because that's where we thrive, our creativity as a people. And if we lose sight of that and start letting ourselves be entertained by someone else's creativity and stuck on someone else's creativity, then that's a place where we are under control again and at the mercy of someone else's next decision. I don't want to get too gone on this, man. I'm just kind of fired. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to say this and I'm going to shut up. Communication leads to reconciliation. Communication yesterday on there, I talked about what was going on to some degree and got a new thought process, got a new outlook on the circumstance, had a conversation, communication again last night, and reconciliation, and I'm like James Brown. I feel good. I'm feeling good now. Reconciliation is a beautiful thing. And that's what we have the power to do with each other. Whatever the challenges are, we can talk through it, and we can reach reconciliation and see how good that feels. It's a good feeling to know that you were heard and that you were willing to listen and come to a compromise. And that's what's happening with me and my circumstance. And I'm thankful to you brothers for pouring in on me. And I'm going to yield.
Brother Marvell, we're at a turning point, both in this country and with from within ourselves. We've been fed a lot of malarkey. As we begin to expel that malarkey, which we have lived while we've been here in this country, we know the value of move, get up, be productive. The difficulty that we seem to be having is that, quote, if I understood the comments earlier, nobody's listening. Oh, yes, they are. We haven't shown much, but yes, they are. They are listening. Now, as they listen, looking for the avenue, which is us. We're the avenue and the vehicle. For me personally, after knowing what this country has done, after living, I'm willing to keep moving. I'm willing to keep pressing on. We don't have time to give up. We don't have time to worry about things that are out of the control of us. The things that we control, let's make a move on them. Let's continue to preach on them. Let's continue to show that there is value, that there is worth, that there is a reason for us doing what we're doing. And that's what's gravitating. A lot of folks are tired of the same old thing. And as I mentioned yesterday, the old game is over. The gangster life, the gangster individual, even rap, mute, that's over. If you've noticed, I think people have started to change. They want something different, and that's us. Let us keep moving. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Ashe. And so I'm out of court right now. Let me give a hand. So I didn't have to say anything on this young man's behalf. They already had it wrote down. They already know what's going on. And this young man has to come up out of that shell he's in that Marvell notices like I do. He's not a responder. If you talk to him, he'll look at you, stare you down, but he's not going to respond. And that is his problem in life. So the reason he has that situation going on is because he's in a house full of women. His uncle is disabled, and the elder in there is 85 years old, and she runs everything. So when you have a 14-year-old and you're trying to raise you're raising him and you're 85 years old, there's a big gap right there. And not saying that she's not a provider, not saying that she's a nurturer, not saying that she's not doing what she needs to do, but the connection between them as great-grandma, as great-grandma, and this youngster is a big gap. And so until we can find a way to get him to open up, he's going to be in this situation. So Brother Joe, your name was called out today from the grandmother, saying that you called her and she would like for you to call again. And how I end up going to court today is she invited me to court yesterday when I went to the school to check on the boy's grades and his whereabouts. And the school wouldn't let me in because she forgot to put me on the emergency list, right? And so I told her, I said, see how we can forget to do things that can help us. And we frown upon when the youngster forget. When the youngster forget, we throw it all the way up to the moon. But when we forget, we expect you to acknowledge that we forgot, and we have an excuse why we forgot. But then this same youngster sees that normally, and so he's disconnected because this is not the first time that things have been forgotten on the grandparents' part. And so the youngster has a hard outer skin right now that deflects anyone, because this is his grandma. He has deflectors on for those that are trying to come and talk with him. So what I know now from going back to this court and hearing the things I heard
and seeing how he works in the youth circle. This young man needs more male attention to grab him from the house and talk to him, take him for a ride. He don't go on too many rides. I asked him today. I said, hey, man, when the last time you took a ride? He said, what do you mean? I said, have you ever rode to the snow and just turned around and came back? No. Have you rode to the Bay Area just to go to the wharf and look at the ocean? No. Have you rode to the other side of town just to be riding and come on back? He said, no. I said, okay. So that's going to be a start, because on them long rides, everybody, that's when conversation and communication can start. That's when you got him sitting there, he ain't got nothing to do but look at beautiful scenery or ugly scenery, and you can talk about that. Oh, look how beautiful that looks. What do you think about that? And it just starts a conversation, because this young man don't know how to communicate. And so real work is real work. If you want to put in that work, you got to be consistent, right? And so I just say to all listeners out there, be consistent in what you do. I know so they get on my nerves. I'm gonna tell you, it's been about 20 times in the last 15 years where I really wanted to kick a joker in the throat. Oh, is my mic on? Excuse me. Is my mic on? For the behavior that they show and the disrespect that they show, I be wanting to kick them in the throat. I ain't gonna lie. But me, as a changed man, I have to find a different way and a different thought process to work with these young folks. Because, see, when I be feeling like that, that's because I'm doing all the work and they ain't doing none. That's because the parents is not jumping in and coming to the session and making sure that their baby is getting what they sent them there for, right? And then the other thing, when they leave out the session, parent never came and said, hey, I appreciate you for talking to my son, my daughter, for this thing. What can I do to help this situation? It's not happening like that. They think that because we are mentors and been through some things, that we can wave a magic wand and things will change because it changed for us. No. You have to put in the work with the parents. The parents have to put in the work with you, and then the youth will see y'all combining to save them from themselves. And so I don't want to be on the soapbox all day, but I had to tell y'all, they released him. He's not going to do any time. He has time served. They spoke about Hooked on Fishing and how we've made changes for a lot of young men in there. So I want to give everybody that's hooked up with Hooked on Fishing applaud, because the judge said, oh, Mr. Tim's in here, right? And I felt privileged. I ain't been in the courtroom in 8 months. In 8 months, I ain't been in the courtroom. But because I was in the courtroom previously, they know what I'm serious about what I say. And so for him to address me in front of that youngster, I'm going to use that to my advantage. I'm going to that, right? And I'm not going to do it by myself. I'm going to make sure my brothers know that when we grab one, we got to dig in on them and not be so hard on them, because they don't know what they don't know. And the situation that some of our young folks are in, shit, them situations, it ain't healthy. And so we got to give them some strength to go through the trials and tribulations that these young folks are going through, and I regress.
Tim, is this the young man that had bought the cell phone?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Ever since I met that young man, going all the way back. Okay, what do you want me to do? Now, I will call.
We're going to talk.
Okay, what do you want me to do? Whatever you want me to do, got it. Got it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Because the grandma show called out your name. As a matter of fact, she said, his number is 510. I said, okay, you putting it on thick. But this is what it
well,
is,
now,
Joe.
Wait, you know, let me say this. That's guard work. Yes, I did make an initial contact, but the young man was doing some chores or doing something, schoolwork or something at that point. I don't want to upset the house, but you're right. A stronger grab needs to take place with that young man. So, Brother Tim, when you're ready, I'm ready.
Yes, sir. I thank you, Uncle Joe, because it's a man like you that's going to be able to change him, a man like Mark the Disciple, a man like Double R, a man like Marvell, my brothers. I know that you all have it in you. It's not on you. And so you're not doing it for a show or a light or an article. You're doing it because it's in you, not on you. And so I appreciate you. And, we're gonna put this work in, man. This one right here, this is the real challenge. We got a format for him. We just need to get it to him for him to understand so that he can be a better young man before he gets too old and too wet. Too far out there where he don't listen to nobody, because I got a few
what?
Of them that do that.
Tim, can I cut in? Is this the young man that Joe did the money with?
No, that's Steve.
No, that's a different one. Mark the Disciple. That's a different one.
Is it the old one we had at the other center?
You know who it is.
Just getting back out again. Yeah.
You know who it is.
Hey, it's the hood.
Yep.
Hey, it's the man with the hood. It's the hood kid, you know.
Okay.
When I say hood,
okay.
I ain't talking about neighborhood. Yeah. I'm talking about won't take off the hood, right?
Yeah, he has to learn that he has something to live for other than what's going on inside his mind.
We could work with him.
Yeah.
And like you said, Tim, it's going to take each of us. Each of us is going to have to pour into him at different times. Maybe like during the youth healing circle, I'll take him out and walk around with him and see if I could talk to him, answer some questions, and then somebody else do it. Until we figure out who he's going to respond to. Because he's going to respond to somebody. He's just got to find that connection.
That's true. I agree. Yeah, that's the method.
Because a lot of times I ask the youth that are despondent that precise question. Who do you respect enough to listen to? Because that's who I want to talk to.
That's a good
because
question.
This
good
message,
question.
This
that's
message is important to get to you.
That's a good question, Brother Marvell. That is a damn good question. Yes, it is. You even got me thinking at this moment. I appreciate that. Brother Mark, you're correct. Each one of us, tough love is what it's called, at least that's the jargon, what this young man, this specific young man seems to need. If one person is not going to be able to actually crack that egg. So we are a team, and let's act like one. That's all. This young man needs to understand it's not going to be easy
because we have to understand how we are on receiving certain things. We don't receive from everybody. Some people could come in there and start talking. We'll turn a deaf ear immediately. So these kids are the
Hello, anybody there?
Yeah, it just dropped.
That was Mark.
Yeah, I know.
Is Tim on there?
Well, Double R sound like just me and you right now.
Okay.
I'm on board. I'm on board, fellas. Good morning, kings. Good morning, queens. I'm on
board.
Hey,
how you doing this morning? Okay. Okay.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
Okay.
I'm just listening. I'm just listening in. But
well,
I think yesterday, I believe also yesterday, for some reason, it was some issues too, because toward the end of the segment, everything just went dead. So I don't know what happened yesterday, but I'm just chiming in this morning. I want to say good morning and to all the people that are chiming in, Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence, I believe is a excellent program that Mr. Tim came up with. Keep doing what you're doing, Tim. And hopefully now, Mr. Tim, since you got some credibility, since the judge had mentioned this, I'm hoping that he can go back inside the juvenile hall and talk to these kids, because he did get denied. My son was in juvenile hall at one point, and Mr. Tim was visiting him, but then all of a sudden they just said out the clear blue that his program, that he couldn't come in. And that left us like, what? You know, but all the other programs were in, but just this one program, this black man's program, couldn't come back in, and it left us like, you know, what was the reason behind that? So I'm hoping that Mr. Tim can come back into the juvenile hall detention center, because there are kids that want to be helped. There are parents that want the help, and Mr. Tim's program is a good program to help pave the way for these kids coming in and coming out of this juvenile hall system.
Ma'am, let me add something to what you just said. Now, I spent a majority of my professional life at Juvenile Hall in San Francisco. And to answer your specific question about the program, no, because it was showing some sort of progress. And the system at that time was not capable of understanding that. The stereotypes that police have, so does the juvenile system, obviously. So, again, what Brother Tim was denied was because it was beginning to show progress. That's real. Oh yeah, because it is those babies' minds at the time, whether they've committed a crime or not, or serious or not. It's at the critical point. Just like we're talking about this young man, he's searching, but he has no avenues. He's looking, but he has a short distance to travel instead of in his eyes. So no. We need to do something about that, especially about the program, because indoctrination inside the juvenile system is complete. We can break it if we want to. And you hear me all the time say the same thing. Let's make a move. Now, they denied him at one point. Let's make a move. There's something that can be done about that, specifically for black and brown children. Up here in Sacramento.
Exactly.
Yeah, up here in Sacramento. And it doesn't need you don't need an army. You don't need an army. But going to the right individuals, of course. Speaking, of course, letting them know that our children are important. Because as far as they're concerned, they're dollar signs. Period. System works on cash. And that's the body count works on cash. That's how they pay everybody. Uh-huh. Probation, the whole nine yards. All of it works. The cash is at the center of any correctional system. So, and kids are easy to sequester. Real easy. Because nobody speaks up for them.
Right.
Okay.
Right. And what I was concerned about, you know, when I was doing my journey, when my son was doing his journey in Sacramento, I would ask the probation officers before, you know, what type of alternative programs do you have? You know, can I get some help? Can you help me? This was before my kid got in trouble, you know, and the answer was, well, we don't have them. They took them all, and we can't help you until he does a crime. And so that kind of rubbed me the wrong way. And I'm like, what? what do you mean until he does a crime? I'm trying to tell you that I am a mother that has seen some things going on in my son's life, and I need some intervention before that happens. And once again, I kept getting the answer, well, we took all most of the programs away, and so unless he does a crime, we can't help you. And so that to me was just backwards, and I couldn't understand it. And now, but when you're on probation, you can get all the you can get all the help you can. But now you under their care. So what do we say about that? About these alternative programs that they've taken away? How can we bring them back, or how can we, you know, what's the plan for that?
We got everything.
Excuse me. Excuse me for a minute. I need y'all to confirm that you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Can you hear me? We can hear you.
Oh, okay, because I kept getting
now,
shut
can
off.
Can you hear me?
And all that. Yeah, I can hear
right,
you now. So,
can you hear me?
Yes.
What the major problem is, we have to understand that they don't get paid with those kids being free, just like with the adults. So it's set up so that they can get in trouble. Those jobs were created just for that purpose. And that's why I tell these kids and grown men that for each one of them that stops screwing up, that's a police out of work, that's a judge out of work, that's two attorneys out of work, as numerous correctional officers out of work, they have to think like this here. So I used to ask, because, you know, the kids say, fuck the police. And I say, if you feel that way, quit giving them a job. You stop fucking up. Then you'll put them out of work. I digress.
That's why, fellas, that's why if you watch me with the young man at Steve and that $110, that is at the core of what we're talking about. All of it. But incarceration, Lord, if I had time. But again, fellas, let us try to get back inside that hall. Let us try our best as we work with young men, because they need us. They need us. And see, that's what the system doesn't want. And Brother Mark and Brother Marvell, both of y'all know this. The system doesn't want you educated. Doesn't want the parent educated, but again, it's about the bag. Come on, fellas. Thank you.
Hey, so you're listening to the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio. The call-in number is 515-605-9861. That's 515-605-9861. And so I want to say this and be accurate when I say it. So we give our young folks a lot of rope. You know, a lot of rope. Not to hang themselves, but enough to get help to be pulled back in. That's the rope I'm talking about, to help pull them back in. And so we had a young man last week at the Men's Healing Circle. We gave a good report of how decent this young man was. His situation was very dire, and everybody was saying, keep your hands on him, keep your hands on him, keep your hands on him. But what I tell y'all, I could put my hands on him, but if they're pulling away and going the opposite way, there's no way I can keep my hands on them. I don't have that much grip. And so I want to make a report that I went as far as going to the store that I had this young man to go to get free outfits, never showed up. Called the number, never answered. Left a message, never text back. Called his sister, nothing. So there was another program I hooked him up with that's in the north area, because he's in the north area. They were willing to go pick him up. No call. So I show up to last night's young gents. That's my first time going out there. I went, sat out there, good program, and I was waiting on the sister or the young man to come in, because these are the situations and the opportunities that we afforded him through conversation. Just after meeting him for 10 minutes, never showed up. And so this is what I'm telling y'all. You can say all that you want. You can make people feel any type of way you want them to. But if you're not helping do the work, and it's your business that we are coming to wrap arms around, and you don't show up, you don't call, you know, I don't nobody want to. Oh, man, listen here. I'm going to tell you, I ain't got time for none of that. Not when I'm pouring in, not when my wife is asking me, what am I doing? I got other things going on besides this work we do. Because I too, got to pay this rent. I got to pay that mortgage. I got to pay the food, the lights. It's a lot that I have to do. And I'm entwined, like I said. I went out there to this young man's court date, and I had some other things going on this morning. One being this radio station, right? I love this show. This is where I'm committed right now, right? From 9 to 11, I'm committed right here. I ain't doing nothing else. I done turned down a lot of things because I know my position right now. And so when you are getting hands-on from elders and you're getting help from people, you got to help yourself first. You got to help. You can't rely on somebody, and then when they don't show up one time, you blasting on them. That ain't going to work no more with me. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to start calling a nickel, and a dime. I do that anyway, but I try to save feelings and see if this thing will work out. But you know what? Big Mama said, call it as it is. That way it can be the way it's supposed to be. You got to call it. And so I'm going to go. I don't know what motel. I know they're at the Motel 6 out there off Northgate. That's what I do know. And so I really want to go and find out why they didn't take this opportunity so I know how to do the next person that comes around. Because what happens if after so many letdowns at doing work with families and they let you down, you don't want to just open the door for anybody else to let you down, but that's our job. It just makes me feel some type of way when I'm pouring in and I'm giving you the righteous advice. And you don't even do no research. You don't research it. You don't think about it until something happens. Then you need me again to put on a cape to go try to save the situation when we don't even have to go that way. When we do what we say we're going to do, and I don't care what come up, do what you say you're going to do or let me know you ain't going to do it, so therefore I can continue on moving on. But when I'm set up and I ain't got nothing coming from where I'm supposed to be at, and that means going to these young folks, and they're not there, or they're not showing up, or they're not engaging. This can't happen. This can't happen. There's too many other young folks out that need our help, that want to help. So I sent out a video of a young man who was incarcerated in juvenile hall. He had a big case. It was on the news, right? I went in, and they was able to allow me to put him in my program. And I want y'all to know he wants what we give him. Even when I give him tough love, he thanks me. He calls me all the time just because I'm a real man, and this is what he told me. He said, you're the realest man I ever met. I want to be like you. And so he made a video last night, and I put it on Facebook. And this young man was talking about marijuana and the effects of marijuana. Now, this young man, like I said, had a situation where he was on the news. Everybody called him a monster, but he was misunderstood. He was being bullied, and all the time he was telling the folks he's being bullied, from the teacher to the counselor, principal to his mama. Nobody did nothing for him. So after a while, he had to do what he needed to do, and it ended up almost costing him a whole bunch of time. I mean, for real, for real. And so since he's been in our program, he's been a standout, a stand-up. He's been doing everything he needs to do. He's working with the city on the beautification program. He's done videos. He's done radio and co-hosting on 97.5. He's done everything needed, and he's happy with himself. So that's a good report that I want to give you all, that all youth are not being stubborn to what we're bringing to them. It's how we bring it, right? And so what I do know is I've never taken my hand off of him because he's not giving me the kind of cold shoulder that he don't want what I have, and he wants to be where I'm at. He wants to go out. He calls me, hey, man, what you got today? Well, can I go? man, that makes me, but my own son don't do none of that. And my son's jealous. I'm going to let you know. My son is jealous, but he has no reason to be jealous when he's sitting here with me and everything I have is for him. But I give him the decision to go. I don't make him go because when I made him go, it had a bad taste in my wife's mouth. Well, he don't want to do that. And he don't want to do this. And you making him do so. I stopped, right? And so this young man that I'm talking about, he wants to be where he's at, and he's going to be a great leader. He's a great leader now. He's a great leader now. So I just want to let y'all know it ain't all our youth that are being defiant. It's just some of them, and because of the situations that they're in, a lot of them, it comes from the home. Sometimes it comes from their mama, you know, overprotective, especially these boys. Now, the girls, they catching hell. Mama ain't hard on them like they is. I mean, mama hard on them, but not hard on the son. Let me say it like that. Be real when I say it. And so these young girls don't get the attention that they need from mama. They get yelled at and all that, right? These young boys, mama make the paved way that they make for these youngsters gonna make them man boys. If y'all know what a man boy is, I'll tell you after I digress right quick because it is 1 hour gone by. I got to give y'all a little bit of this before we get back to a little of that. It is the Wise Words of One Gone Show on Blog Talk Radio.
Testing, 1, 2, 3. What's up with it? Attention sack artists. You trying to get your music played? R&B, jazz, hip-hop, and comedy. Spoken word as well. Send your MP3 tracks to DJ1Gone at yahoo.com. That's DJONEGONE at yahoo.com. Make sure you give a call to 347-205-9722 or log on to blogtalkradio.com.
Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence presents Youth Healing Circle. Every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m.
Youth Healing Together.
2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. Inside of Room 67. Our Youth Healing Circle is a forum where we dive into discussions about drugs, bullying, school, and life skills. We provide a safe space and inform our youth
that sometimes it is okay to not be okay.
During our Youth Healing Circle, our youth may hear from other youth as well as experienced adults how to problem solve and navigate unforeseen complexities that we all run into in life. 2251 Florin Road, Sacramento, California. That's Room 67, every Tuesday night from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. For more information, text or call 916-889-0105. Let's heal together.
We in the Obama room at 2251 Florin Road. We done switched about 4 or 5 rooms because we getting bigger and bigger and better and better. Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence is bringing love in the community, and the community is loving us for doing it.
Hey, man, you got your fishing pole?
Got my fishing pole?
Yeah, man, we going fishing.
Man, I ain't going no fishing, man. I got this strap. These streets is hot.
Hey, man, you need to call Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence at 916-889-0105. Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. It's brought to you by Wise Words with One Gone Show, and We Can Work It Out In. Hooked on Fishing and Not on Violence is taking the guns out of our kids' hands and putting a rod and reel in them. We are located at 2251 Florin Road in South Sacramento. That's Hooked on Fishing, Not on Violence. Join the crew and save a kid. You know how we do.
I want to thank our loved ones, man. We got a camping and fishing derby coming up May 24th, 25th, 26th. The flyer is out now. I'm going to get Brother Wren to make a commercial for that. And, man, I want all the families to come out, man. Every year we do this. It's a big, big thing for our young folks and our old folks. I got some folks that they can't wait, right? And so I'm going to take a pause for the calls. I know we get in deep discussion, but a lot of people have been submitting music to me, and they want to know when they can hear their music, right? And so I have two young folks that I'm going to play right now because I feel the need for our young folks to get boosted on this show. And so here's Boss Tootie with Jump on the Wise Words of One Gone Show. Concert at Fruit Ridge Collaborative, and they tore the place down. Here's Mir Rich, y'all. Submitted, age ain't nothing but a number.
Take a ice bite, she's so fun. Got me feeling in my eyesight, they all done. Cardi B, you the mistress, LMA, we should
but a number right here on the Wise Words of One Gold Show, man. I love it. I love it. I love it when our young folks go and get to the bag, because they get into the bag the real way. They're taking their talents and their craft, putting it out there, and, man, making it happen. So if you would like to go and check them out, go to their YouTube channel, Mir Rich, M-E-I-R-R-I-C-H, Mir Rich, and check out his catalog. And Boss Tootie, B-O-S-S-T-O-O-T-I-N-E. And go check out her catalog. These are young phenoms that are coming up around us, and we need to support them. Without further ado, I'm going to the phone line. I appreciate y'all letting me play them submissions, because we're going to have to start playing. I have a whole bunch of people on here. I got, Reb got some music on here. We got the brother, what's his name, Flo Lou. We have Miss Clarisson, Hirsch White on here. We have a lot of people that submitted music, and we're going to get your music on, as I promised. But I'm going to go to the host with the most, Mr. Marvell Wilson. Marvell?
I'm going to tell you something. I'm really glad that you brought this to these particular pieces to be heard by our audience, because last week, when Tim was involved with the burial of his uncle, there was an event that I went to represent, Hooked on Fishing, the Black Caucus fund that had this sponsored a fundraiser for scholarships for students, and there was maybe 100-some people there, maybe 150, right? And the theme was music. So I put together a little package and talked about the origin of music and talked about the first musical instrument that was found. It was over in Slovenia, and it was said to be made by an aboriginal at 42,000 years ago. So that was supposed to be the first musical instrument. And I just used that to propel into how music became a soothing sound. And then it went from a soothing sound to a message sound, right? Where now the messages are being conveyed and planting seeds for thought process. And you know, it's sort of like, you know, has a power to influence people's thoughts and behaviors, right? And then I talked about the wave that we're suggesting that we go to and support, and that is this young. I mentioned her, because furthermore, Tim had tried to arrange to have her close the show by doing a performance at the end of the presentation, and I tried to do the same thing. However, she was not doing well in her math class, and her father and her mother, and I know her father, I didn't know this about her mother, but someone told me that both of the parents are blind, but they're not blind to...
No, that's bad. That's bad report. That's
okay,
bad
well,
report.
I know the father is. Okay, that's the father
yeah.
is. The father is, and he's still, he doesn't lose sight on how to groom his child. She's a very, very innovative and productive youth that is very centered, but she's not doing well in her math, so she couldn't go out of school to come and perform that day because her assignment was to get her math back in order. Is that accurate, Tim? That's
yes.
accurate. So she wasn't able to perform to close it out, because that would have been the beauty of letting that audience know that our responsibility as adults is to persuade and influence the direction of this rap. Because I told him, I said, if y'all don't understand how powerful this stuff is, tell me why you can go to a club and you can hear a song and be dancing to it and even reciting behind it, and it, and I ain't gonna say the words, but y'all can fill it in. It's called Stupid AB, I ain't effing with you. Stupid AB, I ain't effing with you. And folks dancing to that, right? So that shows you the power of the music, or so-called music, because I talked about music being the sound, a soothing sound or a motivating sound or a mood-setting sound, but now we got people up front saying stuff with music accompanying them instead of them accompanying music like back in the day. When our voices blend with the music, our message was blended with the music, but now it's different. It's like whoever is doing the talking is the feature and the music is just background now. So it's not really music that's being featured. So I put emphasis on that and try and urge that everybody start looking at these youth who are saying messages that are enriching and are enlightening, and they're bright and they're encouraging messages, right? And I have a suggestion for everyone who's interested and curious about these youth that Tim just played. If you look them up and you find them and you play the music and you got kids, blow it up in the household and let them see you enjoying it. Blow it up. Have the house rocking with their music and subliminally implant that as a new wave of music that it carries a better message than Stupid AB ain't effing with you.
Ashe. And so I want to say thank you, Brother Marvell, for that information. And it was because of me. Once I told the father about a few things that was going on, one was at the Sojourner Truth Museum. The other one was the Black Caucus. And he mentioned to me that her grades were not up to par. That let me know that he cares about his daughter's well-being. Even though he can't see with his eyes, he can feel that he needs to be the parent that says, okay, we don't need to do that show. We need you to get back in school and do what you need to do. And so that's a plus to that father instead of trying to push his baby out there. And so I made the decision at the end to say, you know what, you right. You know, I ain't gonna push this. So we'll leave that alone. But I got a couple of people that just got on. We're going to do a roll call, and I appreciate y'all listening in to the Wise Words of One Gone Show with our family here, Double R, Mark the Disciple, our host with the most, Mr. Marvell, Mama Chocolate, along with Miss Clarice, along with Brother Joe. There's just so many of y'all on here. So I want to get, there's a lot more people on here, so we're going to do a roll call right quick. I see a hand up. You're on the Wise Words of One Gun Show. Who is this?
Good morning, everyone.
Oh, good morning. Good morning.
This is Mama Chocolate and who else?
And Red, I heard a positive affirmation. That, I heard the new remix of the Jump to Young Youth. I love it.
And then right, let me say this, Brother Tim. You have another platform, and I need you or someone to check into that, because our young people are not doing Facebook. Our young people are doing Instagram. So I went onto your Instagram page, and you have your last post of 2022. I need you to update that, because that is going to flourish. The young people are influenced by Instagram and what other platform, Snapchat. But Instagram is the key, and TikTok. But Instagram right now is the key for the young folks. So if you can share whatever that video was, from Facebook to Instagram, you will reach a lot of kids, but they do Instagram all day long.
You make one.
No, he has one. Hooked on Fishing, because I went on your page, but the last post was 2022. So let's get an update on that. But continue to pour into these kids, because you are making a difference, Brother Tim.
Good morning, kids.
Appreciate you. Okay. That's Mama Chocolate. I see. Is that Pastor? That look like Pastor Don. Pastor Don, you on? 480. Got a caller from 480. You're on mute. Okay. Double R, you in the car?
Yes, sir. Double R in the car. Yes, sir.
All right. Mark the Disciple, you in the car?
Yes,
no, I can't use it. You, I can't use that. You in the car? That's Double R's slogan. Mark the Disciple,
Mark the Disciple,
you hear
me? On the line and on your mind.
Hey, right on, right on. I just heard from Mama Chocolate. Miss Clarice, say good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
All right.
I want to say something. I got part of the conversation, and several people have talked about the mothers and on their sons, how they were stalked. I grew up just the reverse. There were six boys and one girl. My father had a home-based business, and it was called Collins and Sons. So I'm thinking my whole life, well, what about the daughter? Who am I? You know, and I gravitated to, I was close to my family, but I gravitated to other families where I was like more of a part of it. And I watched my father do his own business, taught himself, different brothers, but I was the one that was the communicator. I could have saved several of their businesses, but they wouldn't listen. And finally, one of my brothers said, Louis, they would call our dad, Louis intended for us to take care of you, all this and that, and other, but you guys weren't. You're not doing it because you won't listen. So I grew up with all of this. I was the third child. There's two brothers older and four younger. But that's what I grew up with, always the men. And the woman's place was in the home. But if I had just stayed in the home, I wouldn't have advanced. You know, I was the one that went on to college. I was the one that connected a lot of them to doing a lot of things that they did. So it's kind of nice to hear a balance. As I said before, I've learned a lot from this show, from different men, your perspective, because I grew up with my brothers, and all of a sudden they took off. They had their own lives, and I was like, okay. You guys did this again. But as we got older, we kind of reconnected because our family wasn't great communicators. My dad wasn't a communicator at all. Mom did all the communicating. Everything went through Mom. And I just want to be just the opposite. I don't want to be the whole communicator. But yet I was forced to. My son's father wasn't in his life. You know, so I'm really grateful to this group. And there's another young man that's going to be coming in. I'm working with him and with his grandmother. So he's into this nutrition, into different nutrients. And so I'm going to use him in a program that I'm going to be doing, working with, and that's going to help him. But I want to connect them to this group because he felt like he didn't have anything to live for. And so I want to get them out there. And it's just been really wonderful. And I appreciate each and every one of you all for sharing your experience. It's just been wonderful. It's been a godsend. I spent years and years in a religious environment, and I've gotten almost as much out of this environment in a short period of time than I did that whole time. Because, and I thank you, and
wow.
I appreciate all. And I'm
big. That is big.
Wow.
So we have a caller from 916-525, say hello. 916-525.
What's up, man? It's Ren. I'm tapped in. I had to come off mute.
Hey, that's Boss Tootie Daddy. That's Boss Tootie Daddy, y'all. Y'all give him a hand right quick.
Hey, Ren. How you doing?
Oh, man.
How you doing?
I'm chilling with a feeling. How's everybody?
Right on, man. Good to hear you.
Yeah, likewise.
Okay, we got a caller from 916-502. Say hello. You're on mute. All right. And so, Brother Wren, Brother Marville was talking about you losing your eyesight, right, and how you are raising a 10-year-old. And I want to get a moment with you while we have our listeners here. So, Brother Wren, knowing that it's not easy, especially a man raising a daughter by himself, right? And so I want to ask you, where do you get the strength from in raising your daughter? Where do you get the strength from?
Man, the strength got to really come from God. You know, other than that, I don't really think about it. I get to it. So, I guess I could say some of my motivation comes from, you know, being in the household growing up without a father. So I kind of use that as my fuel to be the opposite of what my father was. So I definitely don't want to walk in his shoes. So I just
yes,
do everything
sir.
I can.
Yes,
he gave me all the wrong. He gave me all the right things not to do. So.
Yes, sir. Wow. Yes, sir. And so your daughter is very talented, and I know that you are a rapper as well and a producer as well. You produce all her music, and you got a team of good engineers and whatnot to help her be successful. How did that come about? Because, you know, in this world that we live in, a lot of times people use situations to, you know, come up on. And so it seems like the family that you put together around your daughter is not the type of people that are about greed, or they're not trying to come up off of you. How did you find these people, and how did this connection come? Because your team is solid. You just did a video out in West Sac. I was supposed to make it, but y'all know me. And so I didn't make it, but I called you. See, the one thing I want y'all to know, if you're not going to be able to make something, won't you call the people so they don't have to be waiting around? Don't wait for them to call you, and you're supposed to meet with them. But you put that together, man. Like I said, he has no vision, and he's on the front line with his daughter. I mean, like he can see, y'all. And I want to know about the team that you have behind you, man, because these people got to trust you and you got to trust them to move forward in a lot of situations, being that your sight is gone. And in this world, we need to be able to see some things to believe these things. But you are believing in the people that you choose. How did that come about, man?
I mean, I genuinely believe that. My mom used to always tell me, R.I.P. to my mom, she used to tell me that, you know, what comes from the heart reaches the heart. So, you know, I try to be truthful and be honest, and I kind of follow my heart and my instincts with things. And, I've attached myself to people who think likewise, obviously. Like even people like yourself, you know, I'm blessed to even know you and, you know, everybody I've met through you. So, you know, same thing, like just like that.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Well, I ain't going to spend too much time on you, but since you was on here, I had to go ahead and interview you just a little bit, because there's people out here that are going through struggles, right? And they think that their struggle is the struggle. But there's people that are struggling way worse than others, right? And you don't know a struggle until you hear somebody else's, right? You go, oof, man, I thought I was going through it. I got this beat, right? And so I appreciate you, brother, for being a man and for doing all you can for your daughter, yourself, and this community and this show. Because I want y'all to know, Brother Wren put the Youth Healing Circle commercial together. He put the Men's Healing Circle together. He's done a lot for this show, and we're going to sit down and get some more stuff together. And we got a couple of people. I want to know if there's any sponsors listening out there. Our show would love to be sponsored. I normally don't talk about money, because money and black folks, it's not a good mix right now. We don't know how to play together when it comes to that money, right? People get big and try to treat other people little. So I don't ask too much, but we would like to get sponsorship because there's things that we need to do for this show. And one, get some more commercials. Two, we need flyers out. I know Marvell been to a couple of spots, and he said, dang, Tim, I wish I had the flyers, right? So if Marvell has called you about the flyers, please get back with him and let him know, if you're going to participate in being on the flyer, distributing the flyer, however, because this show is worldwide, y'all. I want y'all to know we just ain't talking in the backyard in no cans with a string. This thing is worldwide. I want to thank our people in Canada, Uganda, Kenya, the U.K., and now we are back in the Netherlands. I don't know who's in the Netherlands, but it's showing on the graphics that the Netherlands is at 2.1%. So we got some good listening in that area. So don't think that this is just a backyard boogie conversation. This is a worldwide conversation, and it's held right here on the Wise Words of One Gone Show. Without further ado, I'm going to pass the mic to Mr. Marvell, our host with the most, as we continue with our dialogue. Marvell?
Yes, sir. Listen, I'm glad the ring came in. Now I'm getting the clarity. You kept saying who was doing the promo. And I didn't put the two together. I didn't know that there was this brother doing this. And now, admiration and adulation to this brother for representing, the spirit, the things that happen through the spirit. Because it's pretty obvious. I work with an organization that highlighted, get the youth to highlight. I'm a prevention person. Start young, to get the youth to recognize and highlight their gift, right, so that they can hone it toward something that allows them to be able to do what they like to do and take care of themselves, make a livelihood with it. And a lot of we work with the youth that we call neurodivergent, which are youth who have, they have palsy, they have ADHD, they have Down syndrome, Tourette syndrome. We work with them to get them to identify the same, because it would seem like because they have this impediment or they have this challenge that they will have to be dependent on others to continue to take care of them as they go through life. But if we can get them to identify their gift and their anointment while young, it doesn't matter, because I use Stevie Wonder all the time. I say, only way you know Stevie Wonder is sightless is if you see him escorted to the piano and from the piano. But while he's playing the piano, there's no way you would think that this brother knows sight. So that's what I want to really commend this brother for, recognizing the spirit of his ability. Even though sightless, he's still representing the spirit of creativity, and his talent and his anointment is still shining through. And it warms me to be able to have communication with a brother like this. Now, Tim asked the question, how do you discern, or how do you distinguish who's who, or be able to separate the wheat from the chaff or the live from the Memorex in the people that you're dealing with? How do you do that? And he said it's his instincts, and he trusts God. That's what I got. He trusts God. And that's where to draw the parallel in this program is that we can trust each other if we trust God. And if we trust God, there's no way we're not going to be able to see us thriving together. It's just no way. However, if we trust a false god of money, which Mark talks about all the time, that bag,
chasing that bag, that money, and we trust a false god of celebrity, listening to people because they have gotten the bag and gotten the big bag and got a lot of money in the bag, trusting what they say, or even trusting people who are in the pulpit who talk about prosperity instead of redemption, instead of salvation, true as a person, to learn how to be a good person, not a success. When I ask the youth in school, I ask them, I say, what's the difference between a successful businessman and a successful person? And you know what they said? What's the difference? And by the time we got through, we distinguished what the difference is. So learning how to be a successful person and representing and getting out the way for the Spirit of God to flow through you, that's what we oftentimes purport here, is that all we got to do is learn how to do that to the best of our ability and watch what happens. So I just want to express my appreciation to the brother, and I hope you heard me do the commercial for your daughter, because the new wave of messaging through music is right there with your 10-year-old, right there with that 16-year-old, and right there with that group, that family group. They're like, what's that group name? It was like the Five Steps back in the day. They had a whole bunch of family groups that were very popular, and you could tell that they were family because they just blend so well and they work so well together. So that family music structure is what we're suggesting that we could be in this country. We could be just as tight and just as harmonious and just as productive as those youth groups. And I'm going to deal with that.
And so I'm going to just say something before I pass the mic. So I just got a call from the young man's sister, who I said they didn't contact, and I went to these services and they wasn't there, and even went to where they were supposed to pick up some things. They never showed up. See, God makes things, he reveals things. Let me say that. He reveals things. So I guess she felt some way, or maybe somebody even called her, but she called me just now and said, is this Mr. Tim? I said, yes. She said, I want to first apologize for not calling you to let you know my situation. She said, my son had a fever of 103, and we've been at the hospital ever since last Thursday trying to deal with, because they live in a motel. And so she went on to tell me that she's want to apologize for not making it last night to the circle, want to apologize for not picking up the clothes, want to apologize for not being connected, but things happen. And I told her there's no problem. This call helps me because I told her the truth. I said, you know, we work with a lot of young folks, and we do more work for them than they do for themselves, that, you know, we're gonna take a step after, we'll take two steps after you take that first step, but we need you to take that first step. She said, I understand, and my brother really wants to be connected to your men's healing circle. He said he felt loved. He's at school right now, and he's really trying to do his best. So I had to give that to the brothers that was in that room with that young man, so you can know that it wasn't his fault. It wasn't his sister's fault. Things happen. But like I told her, when you set an appointment, just call and say, hey, we're not going to make it, and maybe we could assist you in the situation you was in. And she said, I never thought of that, and we needed assistance. And so it's just communication, y'all. And I love that me and her just had this talk, because in my spirit, I felt a certain way, and I told her that. And she apologized again. I said, no, I'm human, and I really do this work. So when it's not getting done, I take it personally, as I should. I'll pass the mic.
Well, I'm going to tell you, man, actually, what I heard initially about the young man and the lack of communication, something sunk inside me. I was very disappointed, because we were all in forum together, and we all were doing assessments of the energy and of the connections that were obviously there. And for not to be a follow-up you know, I was feeling like you feel about, you know, gosh, man, really another one of these. And then now, you know, I'm energized to find that there was, you know, a concern that was a family concern and a dire situation that made it make sense why they weren't present. It's just that, again, heavy emphasis on this. We're sponsoring a project called Men Accountable Project, and that accountability that we're suggesting is what we're going to attempt to represent in all of our affairs. So if you're not going to place, you got to show. You know, if you say you're going to do something, if you're not going to be able to do it, you have to notify whomever it is that you have anticipating you doing something so that they can go about their affairs and feel good about being included in whatever the steps are to get to the solution, right? Because I'm not that dude for real. Like, you know, I give you once or twice. You say you're going to do something, you don't do it. Okay. If I feel as though you're humble about it, and you have the willingness to, when you're in made contact with, you have the willingness to acknowledge, okay, yeah, I blew that, and I'm gonna work on not happening again. But if it happened again, then I'm about through. Because see, what's not gonna happen is that again. That's not going to happen again. You know why? Because I'm responsible to make sure it not happen. I'm not listening to you anymore. And that's me. That's my methodology, because I don't have the time. I had somebody tell me the other day when they didn't do what they said they were going to do, told me, well, how come you didn't call me to check on why I didn't do what I said I was going to do? And I paused for a minute, and I thought about it, and my conclusion was, how dare you? That's what I concluded. How dare you? You want me to follow up on you because you didn't do what you said you were going to do, and then had like a little saltiness about it. Like, yo, ain't you supposed to be the one? And I'm saying, yeah, I'm supposed to be the one who trusts what you say. And if I can't, then I don't know how you think I'm supposed to trust you. So it's a beautiful thing to find out that there are other things that happened, right? It's a beautiful thing to find out that what we felt and thought is something different, is something better. We're going to hear from that youth again. We're going to pour into that youth again because there's a demonstrated willingness that we can be inspired by. But if the willingness is not there, then all we could do is pray.
But
and
this is a When dealing with something like this, of this matter, we have to utilize compassion. We have to use the same compassion that God uses on us. Because we all wake up with plans to do something and something else could come up. It could be a medical problem or somebody could come up with some bad news from any direction or whatever that need our immediate attention. So we have to use compassion. Especially with these young folk, because their minds is going 100 miles an hour. There are so many distractions out there that the system has placed before them to pull them away from doing anything right or constructive. So we have to use a great amount of compassion. And that's why so many of us brothers that's willing to reach out or try to be ready and available. Because we know we all can't do it all. There's enough of us. If one can't make it, maybe the other one can. So that's why it's important that you just pass that number on or something like that. If you're feeling perturbed about something, just pass that number on to one of us that's not feeling that way, Marvell, because we're going to handle this. We got this. We are brothers in arms, and we're holding up each other. We are helpers to one another. I digress.
That was perfectly said. And I agree and we can all agree to disagree on this platform right here. And I wanted to also say, being accountable is one thing, but at the same time, just like the brother just said, some things happen, and it distracts us. And so, what's wrong with a friendly call to say, hey, I thought you said that you were going, that you were coming, or I thought you said that we're going to have this meeting. What's wrong with that? Did that one call, you know, hurt you to do that? And with that being said, you know, a lot of us have a lot of things on our plate, and we try to do a lot of things, you know, 10 things at one time. But in pride of that, you know, Mr. Marville, I want to say this. We will meet. We will meet. Our circumstances didn't allow us to meet this past weekend, but we will meet. You'll meet me, and I'll meet you, and you'll meet my adult kids. So I don't want you to ever think that what we were trying to do wasn't going to manifest, but it just didn't manifest that day. And then one more thing, fellas. Being that people live in different areas, Mr. Poole, is there a meeting ground? Can some of these people, or when you do have things that you want to meet somebody at, is there a meeting place where everybody can meet? Because the area was once a challenge. Some people live on the north side. Some people live on the south side. Some people from the north can't go to the south. Some people on the south can't come to the north. So with that being said, is there a medium that they can come to where you can meet some of these folks at? And with my circumstances, it was more planning. I just can't jump up and come 3 hours. I had to plan my trip. That was a trip up there. But other things transpired. And I had to do what the others called for me. But my kids will, you know, we will meet again, Mr. Marville. We will meet. We talk, you know, on the phone, but we'll meet in person soon. I digress.
Well, go ahead, Tim.
And so it could be a meeting spot at our classroom at the Fruit Ridge Collaborative. That's always a good spot to meet. It's in the middle of the south and the north, but it's also in Oak Park area. And so I'm like this. I have God on my side. There's no fear. You know, they used to say a lot of places people couldn't go. And it's only because, you know, they keep poking the bear. So if you don't poke the bear and you go and do what you need to do, and you going in there with the love of God, he goes before you and prepare a place. And so just go with him and know that you're covered by God, right? And so I know it's rough out there. It's rough in the north for the north, right? I just, last couple of weeks, it's the north knocking down the north, right? And the south knocking down the south. So it just how one's feeling is, right? And
right.
So I know our young folks, like I heard 11-year-old say, I can't go to Oak Park, and he's from Meadowview. I can't go to Oak Park. I said, why not? Oh, because my brother don't go and my uncle don't go, and they said we can't go there. And this is an 11-year-old said that. So, you know, keep passing that old generational curse down. And it's probably because Pookie didn't give Ray Ray a piece of bubble gum. They fell out. Now everybody fell out. It'd be the smallest thing that keep us apart. So we need to start mending these relationships. Somebody got to start, and so that's why I do the skating. It's called Family Skate Night. We have people from the Heights, North Highlands. This last one, it was so full and so packed, and everybody had a good time. They didn't care where you was from. Matter of fact, I didn't even hear that in our young folks. Normally, I hear, "Hey, where you from?" Because you know that's the get down. When they say where you from, they either want to know for a reason. Or they want to know because it's going down, right? And so it is rough out here for our folks, but we, the elders in the community, have to pave the way and show our kids that we can get along so they can get along. And I'm going to pass the mic.
So I'm going to open my mind to, you know, to the suggestions of being, you know, because I really don't like feeling though I'm at the end of my rope when it comes to our community, and when it comes to, especially when it comes to our young folks, and more particularly when it comes to people in the grips of drug usage, because I was in it for 27 years. And so I have more of a receptivity to those who are experiencing that. But I'm just curious to know who advocates for having, you know, the agreement, having agreements not met consistently. And as much as a phone call, because the proposition was, is there a place, or if there weren't a place to meet, there's always the phone to make arrangements or to have communication. So when someone tells you they're going to call you and they don't call you consistently, I'm just curious to know, how do you keep your assignment with working with someone when that happens too regularly? So that's my point, is that the word, see, if everything began with the word, then we have to understand the power of the word. And your word, power, especially when you make an agreement. And if you don't meet your responsibility to that agreement, then that makes trust a challenge. So that's what I want to work through, is like, it ain't about Millie. Really, it ain't about me having a willingness. And it ain't even really about the willingness of the people that I want to pour into, because I need to be able to face them to make that assessment myself. It's like, okay, if I get around somebody and I see that they just dumped down hardcore, ain't about to do nothing different, and I say that and I feel that, then I can proceed from that. But until such time, I'm still willing to do that. But it's the word and the trust of the commitment to the word that is the barrier until then. So I just want to know how you guys deal with that. Because Mark, you said Mark, I don't know if you remember, but when we have people that don't do what they say they're gonna do regularly, we talk about it and we agree that maybe we need to just let them show up, you know, with some humility, and then we can go for it. But just to show up and say, oh, hey. Go ahead. You have something to say?
I beg to differ, because you're saying two things. You just said that you were in usage for 27 years. So being consistent with a drug user, this is new. So what is it going to take us 30 seconds, a minute, to, if they didn't call you at that time, to pick up the phone and say, hey, this is Mr. Marvell, I'm checking up. And then at least you can say that you've done that. You know, I think you, Mr. Marvell, you know, yes, you want to make everybody accountable for, but everybody is in their own, you know, in their own recovery or whatever the case may be. But if you're that person that says that you're going to help them and be by them, then that's part of the job description of being a mentor or being a sponsor or being that recovery person that they can talk to. That's just one part of it. And then soon once they see the consistency in you, like, okay, well, damn, this man really do care. You know, well, damn, maybe I need to really step my game up and receive that back and call him on a consistent basis. Because drug users, they ain't got no time frame. They just do. They just do. And so that's where the difference is right there, Mr. Marvell. I don't want you to give up on these people. Not saying you giving up, but don't give up on the calls and what the biggest, you know, what the bigger picture is, because eventually they will get it. But consistency, I've said that in the beginning, is one of the key things is being consistent and showing that these kids, these young people, these young adults, that consistency is part of being accountable, you know. So that's all I have to say about that.
Well, I don't want to go back and forth like we're you know, but I'm not addressing the people that I personally want to be involved and committed with. Quite frankly, the person that didn't do what they said they would do was you. And I'm curious to know how to feel that.
And that's what I'm saying. We can agree to disagree. You just heard what I said. I'm not the one that's on the drugs. But at the same time, I tried to do what I needed to do. And then this still wasn't good enough for you, because the second thing when I said, we just going to put it out there since everybody want to know. I mean, since everybody is on this line. I said, where could you meet me? And then you said, oh, I live in the South area. And? You had a reason. Oh, I live in the South. That's a little too far. What do you mean? We came 3.5 hours. So for you to say that you live in the South area and you couldn't come to us, that was a problem for you. But it wasn't a problem for me to come 3.5 hours away. So this is where I'm going with that, Mr. Marvell.
Well, you want to tell the whole story then? What about?
We can agree to disagree, Mr. Marvell. We got to be cordial on the line. I need to sign. I don't want to bicker, but
you said you want to tell a story.
But no,
I'm saying the last thing I heard was that was the last thing.
We're going to let that digress. We only got a few minutes left. We understand we're going to talk that out on the phone line. Let's digress.
Yeah, this Double R. Can I say something real quick go over what we were talking about today? And it was about the youth. And one of you fellas, I've got Tim Marvell, has the with the youth as far as going in. And you were shut down with your ministry or whatever going in there, man. And that's just the way they do us, man. You got to understand, when they see us rehabilitating ourselves, even our kids, they try and quench it. They try and put it out. You know what I'm saying? Like I went in San Diego to a reparations meeting, and Reginald Joanne Sawyer told me, oh, yeah, we closed down 2 prisons. Now it's 10 prisons shut down here in California. And I said, well, give us them 2 prisons. I said, the first land that we need on this reparations so we can take our prisoners and we can rehabilitate them ourselves. We're leading in first, second, and third strikes. You know what I'm saying? We're staying in there. You're genociding us in there. You know, and for our youth, and like I said, when I was going to get these prisons, we're going to have for the youth and the females in there to be rehabilitated by our own people, because just like you said, you were shut down because you was progressing with these youth in the facilities as catching these crimes at early ages. Okay, and another thing I want to get back to, if you guys get a chance, watch it on YouTube. G. Craig Lewis is a youth pastor. He deal with the X Ministries, EX Ministries, and it's the truth behind hip-hop. It's a series. And 99, I paid for it, but now it's free. And Michelle, if you can let Red look at this, it is very informative about the music and the way that who was the director, who was the baddest in heaven as far as music? It was Satan. Now, his tactics went to hit the black community, because if you can look at it, who listened to all the music that one race do? Is everybody listening to the black music? And we're influential on everything that we do with music. Music passes the mind of our youth, and they seem to do what the music say. So if y'all get a chance, like I say, X Ministries, man, is so powerful. The truth behind hip-hop. Please check it out. I'm telling you, it will blow your mind, and I yield back.
Will do. The truth behind hip-hop.
Something
the truth
say?
Behind hip-hop. It's for free. G.T. You said G.T. Lewis. Craig Lewis.
G. Craig Lewis. He's G. Craig Lewis.
Okay.
G. Craig, oh, man, this brother is outstanding. I saw this in 99, and I need to bring this back, resurface this, because you guys can see what's going on with our music now.
Right on.
Mr. Kim?
I want to explain what the reason why our music is played so much. Our music is played because you have to understand, the others, they have derogatory music too, but it's still underground. Our music is played because they want to see ours incarcerated, because that's what it does. It promotes violence, and violence is their job. That's how they get paid. They get paid from that. And so they get all our men locked up, all our boys locked up. It stops us from procreating. So you got to understand the process. It's a method to their madness. And I understand it oh so well. But that's why we're doing what we're doing. It's very important that we continue to do what we're doing, reaching each other, loving each other. See, because we all have issues. We have all issues with inside ourselves. But we got to help each other, and as we help each other, we'll be working out our own soul salvation. We just got to do it together. It's set up for us to bicker and go at each other and watch our young ones fall by the wayside. We got to counterattack that with love and kindness. See, God has a plan. We're just not utilizing it because it's too easy for us to get distracted and go to the other side. So we got to just stick to one side, stick to God's side, God's way, and utilize love and kindness in everything we do, and we will be successful.
We are. I listen to the music that they playing on here by our youngsters, man. That's powerful. Ain't no cussing. Ain't no degrading nobody. I mean, this is where
we need to move on.
This is where we need to move on.
Here's another thing. Check this out, Double R. There's a show that come on every Friday night, and it's called Freestyle Fridays. My grandson, he won it twice, a couple of times. And on there, though, they promote a lot of rap. These youth doing their raps and stuff. But what they're doing is you got so many of them with all this cussing, this derogatory stuff. That's what the people like. I sit there and I watch them. I notice that's what the people like. I even text them, you know, letting them know that we got to change this. We got to change the narrative. And so once we start keep promoting this nonviolence and this promoting love in our music and stuff, it'll change. It's going to take a while because you got to understand this rap didn't get out there overnight like it did. But it's out there now. So we got to just combat against it. Just got to just cover it with love. It's just fill these airways with nothing but love, and it'll happen.
Now, for Andrew, if y'all can listen to, it's a Christian rapper called Bizzle, B-I-Z-Z-L-E. He has a song called Dear Hip Hop. It is powerful. Bizzle, B-I-Z-Z-L-E, Dear Hip Hop. It'll blow you away. He got a video on there, and it's powerful.
See, that's what we're talking about. Is, and then, moreover, I think it's important for us, once we play it, blow it up for your kids to hear you listening to it and see if that'll transcend into their subconsciousness. Because it's one of the things that I noticed that they might not see much of, and that is seeing us having fun. That's why the fun night is very germane to that, is that when the children see the parents getting together and having fun, that has a contagion to it, right? And that has the guiding force that might have been lacking elsewhere, but when they see us together enjoying our company, then that's attractive, I think, to them. So I think that it's good to not only locate it, but when you locate it, blow it up in the house. Because that's what I'm going to do. I got one youth in here that he stays in the room playing his game all day, all night. He come out for air and come out for food and come out for the restroom, but he back in there playing the game all day and all night. So I'm going to blow it up and let him hear something that might stimulate him to look at something a little differently. Because that, all I hear is say, oh, you killed me. Oh, you killed me. Oh, you killed me. That's all I hear. He playing this game where people getting killed. and they come back to life like cartoons or something. You know, it was baffling to me how somebody could be so engrossed with that so long every day, but that's how it is. So blow it up in the house, I suggest, and let the kids, if you got kids, let them hear you playing it.
As far as that go, Marvell, I have to blame the parents because their kids don't pay no bills there. You got to get that kid chores, something where he have to do something other than play a game. That way he won't be able to play that game 24/7. Get that kid some chores. Give him something constructive to do. I mean, parents got to take back the reins. We got to take the reins back. So you got to set up the guidelines. If you put it out front, it won't fall out behind.
Yeah, that's no doubt. But that, you know, that's we got to play. I'm sitting across from a golf course, and they have a term. It's called play the ball where it lies, right? And so what that means to me is that although we want that to be the forte, we have to play the ball where it lies, and we have to surge them, swing them back. You just cold turkey and say, hey, no more of this and no more of that, you'll get the rebellion, because the worst thing argument I ever seen a kid have with his parent is when they try to take their phone. So
right.
We ought to play the ball where it lies, right?
Right.
And
well,
the suggestion
saying,
that
got,
you're posing.
Right, we have
our
work cut out
that
for
us. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The suggestion that you're posing, it's an excellent suggestion. However, we have to start from where it is right now, right? And start working it back
right.
To where
the
basics. We have to work them back to the basics by attracting them to the basics, right? By demonstrating what the basics look like and demonstrating how enriching and how fulfilling it is to do certain things. That's why I say I think it's important for the youth to see us enjoying ourselves. And then that'll be attractive to them, I think.
Mr. Host.
But we're getting ready to shut out right now.
Marvell,
we only got a couple minutes.
Marvell,
yeah.
Can I have a half of that minute? I want to bring it up again, Clarice. I asked a question, and also I was sent to a person. We talk about sponsorship. Do you have a program, a sponsorship program? What does that look like on a piece of paper? Because when you start asking people about sponsoring, well, what does the sponsor get? So could we please get that documented?
Okay, I'll break bread with you after this so you can give me the format of how to do that. And so we can do just that. Because we advocate
I'll get
for
back with you.
Having stuff on paper. Yeah, we advocate for stuff
back
on
with
paper
you.
All the time. Okay,
okay, I'll
good.
Do that. All right. Thank you.
And so with the short time we have left, what I want to do with our listening audience is I want to apologize to you for anything that seems like dissension or back and forth. I got a little caught up because I felt that the clarity of what was being shared was not conveyed in a smooth way. So I want to apologize to all our listening audience for anything that seemed like it was bantering, because I don't think it's a good idea to have that. This is not a format that we have prepared to have that kind of energy in it. So please accept my humble apology for anything that appeared to be that coming from me. Now, one more thing before we close. Henceforth, we just talked about it today, and we're going to structure a format